Jeremiah 33. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without man or beast, and in all of its cities, there shall again be inhabitants of shepherds raising their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, and in cities of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices forever. O Lord, have mercy on us. Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before Zechariah sang his Benedictus, before the Virgin Mary sang her Magnificat, the angel Gabriel had come to them. Zechariah was told that he and Elizabeth would have a son, John, who would make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Mary heard from the angel that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son who would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. When Elizabeth welcomed Mary into her home as the mother of her Lord, and when John was born, the Spirit inspired both Mary and Zechariah to sing songs of praise and thanks to God. Praise and thanks that focused on the redemption God would work through Jesus, as Gabriel had told them. Things are rather different when we come to Simeon. Now, like Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary, Simeon too was righteous and devout. As Luke puts it, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, or comfort for Israel, was central to the promises God made through his prophets. Because of their sins, the Lord had punished his people. Because they were unwilling to repent and turn again to him, they had experienced his fierce wrath. He had let them suffer under self-serving kings and wicked priests. He delivered them into the hands of their enemies, using foreign kings and armies to destroy their homes and take them from the promised land into exile. Their fields and vineyards had become a wasteland. Hedges and walls had been destroyed. Thorns and thistles and thick brambles had overrun their gardens. Wild animals had made their homes where sheep and goats had once grazed. But all of this, the Lord promised, would be reversed. He would bring back his people and restore the land. He would comfort them and bless them anew. He would raise up for them a just and righteous king and provide them with a pious and faithful high priest. All of this Simeon knew from the prophets of old. But something else, something very special and personal, had also been revealed to him. Though the Lord hadn't sent an angel to Simeon, in some unexplained way, by the Holy Spirit, Luke tells us, God had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This almost makes the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah and the Virgin Mary seem less remarkable, doesn't it? How did the Lord make this known to Simeon? And how did he lead Simeon to be there in the temple at the precise time Mary and Joseph came, according to the law, to present Jesus before the Lord and to offer the sacrifice for Mary's purification? The simple answer is we don't know. Luke doesn't tell us how the Lord did this, just that he did. Thus, we can only marvel at the Lord's grace and mercy in revealing this to Simeon, and thank him also for the witness to Christ Simeon gave to Mary and Joseph, and still gives to us so many centuries later. Concerning what happened in the temple that day, St. Augustine writes, "The just Simeon saw Christ with his heart, because he recognized the infant. He saw him with his eyes, because he took the infant in his arms. Seeing him in both ways, recognizing the Son of God, and cuddling the one begotten of the Virgin, he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant go in peace, since my eyes have seen your salvation.'" Notice what he said. You see, he was being kept until he should see with his eyes what he had already perceived with faith. He took the baby and cradled it in his arms. On seeing the body, that is, on perceiving the Lord in the flesh, he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." How do you know that this is not the way in which all flesh is going to see the salvation of God? Augustine concludes. How do you know that this is not the way? That is, that perceiving the Lord in the flesh is not the way in which all flesh is going to see the salvation of God. Augustine is precisely right. There is no salvation except in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. God come to be with his people, come to fulfill the law by his righteousness, and to suffer the punishment for every sin in his flesh on the cross. No one who does not see, who does not perceive that Jesus is the Lord in human flesh, can see the salvation of God. For there is no salvation apart from him. To be sure, for now, the saved can perceive this only through faith. The privilege given to Simeon has not been promised to us. And yet we have the word of the prophets made more certain. Through the scriptures, God has revealed to us the fulfillment of what the prophets wrote, the salvation in which Simeon believed, life and death and resurrection for us sinners, of the divine and human Jesus, the Lord, the Savior of the world. By faith, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Simeon was given to know that Jesus had not come to save just the descendants of Abraham, according to the flesh. He sang of salvation prepared in the presence of all peoples. Jesus was the light to reveal God's mercy and grace to the Gentiles, not just to bring glory to his people, Israel. In this, Simeon echoes the words the Lord addressed to his servant through the prophet Isaiah. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. What joy it is to know that there is no one for whom Jesus is not God's salvation, to hear that he extends his mercy and grace to all people. Yet Simeon doesn't prophesy here that all will be saved. After he blessed the Holy Family, he tells Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Many would be scandalized by Jesus and his assertion that this humble teacher was both Lord and Savior. They would oppose him and reject him. And if they persisted in these responses, find themselves judged and condemned because they would not rely on the salvation God had promised and has accomplished in his Son. With Jesus in his arms, Simeon was ready to die. The Lord had kept his promise. In Jesus, this six-week-old little boy in his arms was God's salvation for sinners. Simeon was certainly filled with the Holy Spirit, for only by the Spirit could he have known that this little baby he was holding was God's answer for sin, the Savior of the world. In many ways, it is a stroke of liturgical genius that after the Reformation, Lutherans began to sing Simeon's song following the Lord's Supper. Because at his table, in the bread and with the wine, you and I are given the Lord's true body and blood. What Simeon held in his arms, you receive in your mouth and down your throat. The Lord Jesus himself, the Son of God, the salvation God has prepared for you. It's true that with your eyes, you see only bread and wine, but enlightened by the Holy Spirit to trust Jesus' words, you can perceive a truth that eyes cannot see, that with the bread and wine, you are receiving the price of your redemption. Christ's body given for you on the cross, and his holy precious blood poured out on Golgotha for the forgiveness of your sins. What more fitting words then could there be for you and I to sing when Christ has come to us once again to forgive us and to assure us of his love and to bestow on us his peace than these words of Simeon? Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.